You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Britt Bennett is just 26 years old, but her work is already being called masterful, stunning, and brilliant. Her first novel, The Mothers, tells the story of Nadja, a young black conservative Christian teenager living in Southern California who becomes pregnant as a result of an affair with the son of a local pastor and considers getting an abortion. It's published by Riverhead Books, a division of Penguin Random House, and I'm very pleased it has brought Britt Bennett to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Some of our listeners might be familiar with your 2014 essay called I Don't Know What to Do with Good White People, which appeared on the website Jezebel and has been viewed almost 1.5 million times.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to me still.
What's the essay about?
It's just about the value of intentionality when it comes to racism. So something that I was thinking about, does it matter if you intend to do well if the end result is that you still harm somebody? I wrote it in the wake of the non-indictments of police officers and the killings of Michael Brown and Eric Garner. And it was just something that I constantly think about as a person, just the idea of how much do your intentions really matter if the end result is still harm.
But you also wrote it when you were living in a predominantly white area, which had not been the case before. You pretty much have lived in black communities most of your life.
Well, not necessarily black majority communities, but diverse communities. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in Oceanside, which is a military town. So there really was, you know, pretty much every racial group, every cultural group you could imagine brought together by the military. Then I moved to Ann Arbor for grad school, which is a town that's, you know, 70% white. So, but, you know, 70% white and also like a very liberal space. So it was this idea of being surrounded by white progressives and also thinking about the role of race in these, you know, sort of small moments in addition to these larger moments I was writing about. But just thinking about that with people who consider themselves all very progressive people, but the way in which race still has these effects.
Because you might think that you're progressive, but you're still affected by all the things that have made you who you are,
right.
the society you grew up in.
Right. We all inherit, you know, these beliefs about race, all of us. And, you know, we all have these moments where I think often where our own biases are brought to the forefront of our minds. And, you know, and if you're not intending to do that, but the end result is still harmful. That was kind of the question I had about my world and about the world at large.
Now, you're here to talk about a novel that you've written. Have you always written fiction and nonfiction?
I've always written fiction. I kind of stumbled into nonfiction. It was just a moment where I had this big question that I was thinking about, and I just decided to write an essay. But before that, I'd always been working on fiction since I was a kid. I really wanted to write a novel.
And this book is something that's been in the works for a long time.
Yeah, I started it when I was about 17 or 18 and worked on it through undergrad and through grad school. So it's been with me for a very long time.
So you were writing it while you were going to class?
Yeah, I was an English major, so I, you know, did a lot of reading and a lot of writing of papers and everything, but I remember I would get up really early some mornings and just try to get a couple hours in. And I was really fortunate to also have really great mentors who did work, who did independent study with me and also took a look at the novel when it was in its early stage.
What did those early versions of the book look like?
Very different. very different. I think one of the biggest differences is that originally the time frame was very compressed and also the scope of the characters was very compressed. I think as I got a little bit older, I began to think about coming of age as something that happens over a longer period of time. And I also became interested in not just these young characters at the center of the book, but also the older characters who make up the church community.
And often the kinds of decisions writers make based on the fact that they've read other writers who have dealt with similar problems, literary problems.
Mm-hmm.
Were there certain books that had a particularly important impact on you?
I think Go Tell on the Mountain by James Baldwin is probably the one I usually look to. It was a book I remember growing up seeing on the bookshelf. My parents owned that book, and it was one that I read when I was younger and went back to when I was older. You know, the idea of like this very fervent black church community and this ambivalent character kind of caught up in it.
Well, he begins as a boy preacher.
Right. And, you know, right. There's a preacher's, you know, preacher's kid. I mean, all of these sort of some of these themes, I think, were things that made it into the book.
So tell us about your protagonist, Nadja Turner.
Oh,
Does she decide to get an abortion? Wouldn't that go against all of her religious beliefs?
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the conflicts of the book for sure. I think, you know, she in the wake of her mother's death, she falls for this pastor's son. And to me, there was something interesting about that, that connection, the idea that after losing her mother, she's faced with this situation where she could become somebody's mother. She's 17 years old. She's smart and driven, and she wants to go to college. And I think, you know, there's this overriding feeling that she knows that she cannot, she does not want to be stuck at home in her grief, becoming somebody else's mother, when the thing that she really wants at that moment is her mother.
A teenage pregnancy is not limited to non-religious people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there was also, you know, that's a tension throughout the book. She knows that by making this decision, this is something that would be seen as very shameful and very controversial within her church community.
Didn't you grow up in a community that is similar to Natchez?
A little bit. I grew up in the church, although the church I went to was larger, but I liked the idea of a small church where everybody knows everything about everybody else. That was more fruitful to me as far as craft goes. But then I also did grow up in Oceanside, like I said, a military town, a beach town. So in that way, there were some of those similarities.
Oceanside is is outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's in North San Diego. So that's where Camp Pendleton is, huge Marine base. It's kind of between San Diego and Orange County. It's a place that I realized all the things about it that are very particular and interesting after I left and went to undergrad in the Bay and then eventually went to grad school in the Midwest.
My guest is Britt Bennett. Her novel is The Mothers. It's published by Riverhead Books. Why did you begin the novel after she decided to have the abortion?
I thought that there, you know, I think I was used to the story about where a woman discovers she's pregnant and she's kind of waffling and trying to decide what to do. I knew I didn't want to write that story, partly because I knew from the beginning that this was the choice she would make. So I liked the idea of beginning in this really bold way. And I think as a writer, I'm generally just interested in the aftermath of things. I thought the interesting story is really what happens after she has made this decision, and that's kind of where my interests lie.
It allows her to move on with her life, to attend college.
Right, and seeing how that this decision will continue to sort of create these ripples throughout her life and throughout the lives of the other people in her community as she gets older.
But this is something that would not be understood by most of the people in that community. In the election cycle, some religious people said that they don't care anything about the politicians' beliefs other than their position on abortion.
Yeah, it's something I think that I've become increasingly aware of how much of a highly charged emotional issue it is for a lot of people. As I go out and kind of talk to people about the book, it's been something that, to me, like I said, I always knew that she was going to make this choice. So there wasn't really a bit of decision-making on my part for what she would do, but I think it's been really interesting and illuminating to talk to people.
Was getting pregnant as a teenager something that you feared might happen to you?
Oh, definitely. I think it was always something that I knew would derail my life. And I was a girl who, like Nadia, wanted to go to college, wanted to, you know, explore, see the world, do all these things. So there's a way in which that caused me a lot of anxiety as a young girl, and I think that is part of what's baked into the book.
Nadja lives in both predominantly black and predominantly white communities throughout the course of the novel, and that changes her?
I think so. I think part of it was really about getting her out of her comfort zone. So sending her to this school that was going to be in a completely different place as far as climate, her having to learn how to deal with snow and just learning how to live life in this really different place physically, but also culturally. She finds herself outside of this small black community that she kind of grows up in and finds herself in this town that is predominantly white.
So on some level, all novels are autobiographical, even if the details, you didn't have the same history as Nadja, but you have lived in similar kinds of communities. You've had to deal with coming to grips with snow after living San Diego, where the weather is always mild.
Yes. Yeah, I think the most autobiographical aspect of the book is really that the idea of place. I think I never imagined that I was going to live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it really was Again, something I kind of stumbled into, and that was the program that accepted me, so I went there. But I really loved the idea of that place being such a nice foil for Oceanside, which, like as you were saying, does not have seasons and is a very multicultural space in which Ann Arbor often is not.
In a recent piece in the New York Times about your book, Angela Flournoy, who was on our show in March to talk about her novel, The Turner House, said, "Writing about ordinary black people is actually extraordinary. It's absolutely its own form of advocacy." I'm assuming you agree with her on that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how I felt when I read The Turner House, where I remember reading it and thinking, like, this is a contemporary novel. It's a novel about, you know, there are more supernatural elements to her book than mine that pushes it maybe a little bit more out of the ordinary. But it really was this book about this ordinary family having a lot of these ordinary issues. And I think that, you know, often the types of stories that are told about black characters are restricted to certain tropes, or, you know, this idea that, like, you know, for right now, everybody's really into slavery stories. This idea that it has to be this very epic kind of undertaking, or this epic struggle against racism. And I think that was something I remember being really impressed about by The Turner House when I read it, because of the ordinariness of the book. I agree with her. I think that she put that very artfully, and that's been a nice reaction to the book, is hearing other people say that.
Nadja's mother had committed suicide a year before the book begins. Why was she unhappy?
That's a good question.
Of course, people commit suicide because they're suicidal.
Right, but... right. I mean, and I think that that's, like, honestly a huge mystery of the book. Nadja is constantly haunted by the fact that she doesn't know why her mother killed herself. And I can't even say that I have a very concise answer to that. I think that that's something that the characters struggle to understand. And I think... it's also something that, again, is, like, not a common narrative within black communities that's talked about, even though suicide rates are a lot higher than I think people mention. I'm not being coy. I just don't have a clear answer for that. I think that that's part of the mystery of the book.
Were you nervous about addressing sensitive topics like abortion and suicide, especially since so many of the characters in your book are deeply religious?
I don't think so. You know, I wanted to address these issues with a degree of complexity and nuance, and I feel like generally if you try to do that, readers will respect what you're trying to do, and that's been the response I've gotten so far.
Have you heard from any churches about the way that you've portrayed a conservative Christian church?
Not yet, but I did hear that the church was, like, on sale, and someone I know, their church bookstore, which really... tickled me. I do expect that there will be a lot of church communities that might read the book and are probably gonna have very different, you know, complicated feelings about it. But that's what you want from readers. You want readers to have feelings, whether it's love or hate or anything in between.
You've been working on this book for almost your whole adult life. Do you have any idea what you're going to do next?
Well, that's the fateful question. I started a draft of a new novel, and it's very young, and I'm hoping it's not going to take me 7 or 8 more years to finish it.
Do you think you have a better grasp on the whole process of writing something as ambitious as a novel?
I think I have a better grasp on the mechanics of writing. I mean, when I started writing this book, I knew nothing about writing, really. I'd never taken any classes, had never studied it beyond just being a reader. So I think I definitely have learned a lot of tangible skills that will hopefully drive me forward with this new novel.
Britt Bennett's work has been featured in The New Yorker, The New York Times Magazine, The Paris Review, Jezebel, and this novel, The Mothers, is now available from Riverhead Books, which is a division of Penguin, what is it?
Penguin Random House.
Eventually, it's going to be all the publishers as one company. Thank you, but congratulations. It's a fabulous book. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.